Salaika, page 333. Vaya jnana, adina vajnana, and nibbida jnana. With banga jnana, the yogi is fairly assured of further progress. Continued practice helps one to develop other insights, seeing only dissolution. One becomes scared by jnana. One sees defects, adina vajnana. So one becomes sick of existence. The ordinary man enjoys life because he is blind to its evils. If he were aware of its ceaseless dissolution, he would become disgusted and weary, nibbida jnana. This insight is important. In the suttas, the Buddha, after pointing out the three marks of life, usually says, so the Ariyan disciple becomes weary of his body, and then goes on to say, being weary, he is free from attachment and attains the path. Insight. We must assume that the Buddha identifies with his nibbida jnana all the preceding insights as well as the others that follow it. Mujjitu kamyate and other insights. Being weary of life, the yogi does not want to cling to body and mind or his existence any longer, and he has now the desire to renounce them. Mujjitu kamyate jnana. In order to fulfill his desire, he must continue the practice, patisankha jnana. As his concentration develops, he is able to ignore all phenomena that arise. Without any effort, he remains barely aware of them, sankhara upekkha jnana. At this stage, the yogi exerts effort only initially. Later on, without any special effort, he is barely aware of all that arise and all that vanish, one after another. He remains in this state for 2 or 3 hours, but does not feel cramps, heat, or pain. His posture is unchanged. If he has any physical affliction, it does not appear at this time. Some diseases even disappear. With the full development of this insight, there arises anupati loma jnana, adaption knowledge. And after that, the yogi sees nibbana on the level of the path knowledge and its fruit. So if you wish to see nibbana, or the path, and its fruit in this life, you should seek vipassana insight, beginning with nama, rupa, paricheda, to anuloma jnana. To this end, you must watch all psychophysical phenomena that arise from 6 senses, and see them as they are. For those who are not mindful, every sense object, which they do not really know, means the latency of ignorance as a defilement. Under favourable circumstances, this potential defilement finds an outlet. The seeds of ignorance usually bring the seeds of greed and hatred in their wake. And under certain conditions, the sense objects are recalled, and as a result, there burst forth the fires of craving and ill will. Ignorance, craving, and ill will give rise to bad or good karma, which in turn leads to rebirth, together with old age, death, worry, grief, and suffering in its wake. These fires of life engulf unmindful people and have their origin in seeing, hearing, thinking, and so forth. So the Buddha says in Adita Sutta, the eye is burning, the form is burning, etc. Fires are totally extinct in the case of the yogis who are mindful of everything that arises from 6 senses whenever they see, hear, etc. And so have vipassana insight. We should therefore do away with ignorance through insight into the real nature of nama and rupa, mind-body complex. Sanditti paramasa, bigotry. Sanditti paramasa literally means wrong reflection on one's view, but it is to be understood in the context of other terms, namely adanagaha, clinging firmly, and dupatinisaga, being hard to renounce one's view. Hence, the three words collectively mean bigotry. According to the commentary, the Buddha deals especially with this kind of belief, as bigotry is detrimental to spiritual effort on the path. The Buddha says other people believe that theirs is the only right view. They cling fast to their view, and it is hard for them to change it. But we will not be self-opinionated and cling to our view blindly. We are prepared to renounce it on reasonable grounds. We will adopt the practice that helps to lessen the defilements. The commentary describes bigotry as the attitude of mind that makes a man strongly attached to his view as the only right view. He will not give up his view, even though the Buddha and other enlightened ones try to reason with him. Bigotry is to be found in everyday life, too, but it is not so serious in that it does not pose a threat to spiritual life. For example, there are popular beliefs about the positions of the earth, the sun, the moon, and other planets as described in ancient writings. These beliefs run counter to the discoveries of modern science. The ancient accounts of the Himalayas and the five major rivers also do not accord with geographical facts. Bigotry in regard to these beliefs is not harmful to spiritual life because they have nothing to do with the practice of sila, samadhi and panya. But bigotry concerning the practice of the Dhamma is serious. It makes one blindly attached to a wrong belief. If a man is so dogmatic that he cannot give up the belief in ego identity and its continued existence or annihilation after death, he will be hampered in his spiritual progress. One of the false beliefs is the belief which rejects karma and future life. Those who hold fast to this belief do not avoid doing evil or do good at the expense of their well-being. Nor will they practice the Dhamma that leads to the path and Nibbana. Another false belief is the belief that rejects the Buddha and the Arahats who attain unusual insights. Those who believe firmly in the ego and its eternity assert that the ego exists forever, and that after surviving the dissolution of the gross physical body, it moves on to another body and continues to exist there. They do not accept the teaching that the Nama Rupa of the new existence arises as the result of defilement and karma, that the extinction of defilement and karma leads to the extinction of Nama Rupa, which means the total extinction of suffering. Because of their disbelief, they do not follow the holy path to the end. Thus, this eternity belief is an obstacle to spiritual progress. However, since it does not reject karma and its fruit, it is possible for the good believer to attain the Deva world. On the other hand, those who hold the annihilation belief cannot attain the Deva world because they reject the law of karma. Their wrong view rules out the possibility of rebirth as a Deva on the attainment of the path. Another obstacle to spiritual progress is sila bhata paramasa, or the obsessive belief that a certain practice or conduct in itself ensures liberation from samsaric suffering. It is sila bhata paramasa to believe that salvation depends entirely on living, eating and sleeping like animals, for example. The worship of animals, too, is sila bhata paramasa, and so is the worship of the sun, the moon, the sea gods, devas, brahmas, and so on. In short, any practice that has nothing to do with the Four Noble Truths or the Eightfold Noble Path, but that involves acting like animals or worshipping them, is sila bhata paramasa, and to look up to it as the way to the end of samsaric suffering is sila bhata paramasa. Most of the non-Buddhist practices that are intended to bring about the end of suffering and permanent happiness are all sila bhata paramasa. Some believe that they can cleanse themselves of all karmic impurities by bathing in the Ganges River. Some even thought that the worship of devas, Sakya, or the god Brahma will assure them of rebirth in heaven and happiness after death. Some hold that sacrifice of oxen, goats, or other animals will free them from sins and make them happy. Such practices are a far cry from the effort to realize the Four Noble Truths, or to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya. And so it is sila bhata paramasa to regard such practices as a way of salvation, as a way to salvation. Those who are firmly attached to them do not follow the Eightfold Path and never attain the path knowledge and its fruit. Religious beliefs are always right in the eyes of their adherents, but they are all wrong from the standpoint of the non-believers. But you cannot charge a man with bigotry if he seeks truth without being dogmatic. Nowadays, some people who are non-Buddhists by birth study birth scriptures, and some of them have become Buddhist converts. Some have come to Burma from Europe and America to practice meditation. Some can describe their Vipassana insights from experience. These Westerners are wholly free from bigotry.